All right, we want to praise the Lord tonight, be in the house of God. This February the 8th, 2023, we're in Acts chapter number 11. We just finished up Acts chapter number 10. And in this chapter here, Peter's confronted about going to the Gentiles. And he does a pretty good job of defending himself. And I do think, you know, that you ought to be able to stand your ground. Well, Peter done a pretty good job here.
Yes, he did.
And they all agreed that he was in the will of God. But before we get our lesson tonight, I'd just like to say concerning our country, it's time to pay attention. Not be so... asleep at the wheel. I was listening to the president last night talking about they wanted children in school as young as 3 and 4 years old, and I'm not on board with that. I'm not okay with that. I know what they want. They want to indoctrinate those children at a young age, and young children that age, they're very, very vulnerable. They're easily deceived, and I don't think they ought to have access to them at the age of 3 and 4 years old. First thing I thought of was a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, talking about false prophets coming to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. And that's about the way I feel about this right here.
Yeah, that's right.
They want the children of America.
Yes.
And what they want to do is they want to corrupt them in the mind and in the body. And a lot of these children are being seduced in the classrooms and having their breasts removed and going through all kind of confusion, don't know which bathroom to use. I'm not for that. And I have to admit, that caught my ear and my eye when he said trying to get the children in school at the age of 3 and 4 years old. I hope America wakes up. That's a serious red flag. I'm talking about your children are in danger with this bunch, this rainbow bunch. I'm against the movement of the rainbow bunch, but I pray for them that God might recover them and that they might get straightened out, get saved before it's everlasting too late. All right, we're at Acts chapter number 11. Father, we thank you to be in the house of God tonight.
Yes.
Pray your blessings on our efforts tonight. Lord, we strive and want to be a blessing. We've got people, Lord, that like to listen in. We can't get our equipment working tonight. Pray you'll help Brother Ed there figure out what the deal is. Lord, we pray for those that will be listening to this message by way of the internet. Pray, Lord, that you bless the teaching of your word. Bless, Lord, dear Father, the efforts of this little church. May we always strive, Lord, to do right. May we bear the right kind of fruit. May we give glory and honor to you. Lord, we confess tonight, Lord, just how unable we are to do anything without your help. And ask your blessings upon our efforts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Starts out in the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. That sounded like good news, but everybody wasn't on board with this. These are Orthodox Jews. Boy, they strain at gnats, swallow camels. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with them. The Bible talks about how two can walk together except to be in agreement. Well, they wasn't in agreement with this. And there was some contention here. And they contended with him. And they said, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them." You know, you better be careful about taking on too much ground. God was in this.
That's right.
God had opened the door to the Gentiles, and man's kind of always been in the way of the work of God, and he's only had trouble out of one thing he created, and that was man. Bible talked about in Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, that it repented God that he made man, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, we've been a headache to God. We've been a heartache to him. And they confronted Peter. Peter was in the will of God. He done what God told him to do. But verse 4 says, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying. That sounds pretty good. And in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Now, Peter's telling them what he saw that day,
right,
where he was at that day.
Yeah.
And they're going to strain a little bit, but they're going to get on board here. Said, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beast of the earth, and wild beast, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. You know, God does sometimes speak to us. We don't always listen. But in this case here, God told Peter to rise up, slay and eat. And Peter, he wasn't on board with that. Verse 8, he said, not so, Lord, for nothing uncommon or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. That's just like us to argue with God.
Yeah.
And that's what Peter was doing.
Yeah.
He was arguing with God. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. Those men were in the will of God. Peter was here, even though he might have been confused. He was in the will of God. God had sent these men to Peter. Verse 12, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Now, Peter went with six others, and they went into the house of Cornelius. Verse 13, and Cornelius, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which had stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. You see, God's wanting to save these Gentiles,
yeah,
but he's going to use this Jew, Peter, to do it. And Peter said, and I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter's getting on board in this situation here. Verse 17, he said, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do what needs to be done. But unfortunately, he's got only men to use. And here Peter was used. And even though he didn't get on board at first, he did get on board. And they brought the word of God to Cornelius, and they got saved. And now that these Jews have heard the report, they have held their peace. They're not contending with Peter no more. And they're glorifying God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveling as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. See, they hadn't been preaching to the Gentiles. Peter's the first one to preach to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And they'd been scattered, and they were only preaching the word to none other but the Jews only. Last Sunday, we was preaching about Jesus offers hope.
Yeah.
And that Cyrenian woman, I can't even say her name right now, but she come to Jesus, her daughter, being grievously vexed with the devil, and asking the Lord for help. And he said, I'm not come but to the lost sheep of Israel. And he said, it's not meant to cast the bread of the children to the dogs. He said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat on the table of their master. And that's kind of what this is right here. They were preaching the word unto Jews only. They had not considered anyone but Jews only. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus, Cyrene, and they were gone to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. Oh, Barnabas, it don't take him long to get on board.
No, that's right.
He's the one that presented Saul to the brethren, and they received Saul just on the presentation of Barnabas. He's one of them kind of guys that's good to have around.
Yeah.
And he come, instead of contending, he's glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man. Every church needs a Barnabas. He was a good man.
That's right.
Full of Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tyrus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, a whole lot's going on right here. You got Peter winning Gentiles to the Lord. You got the church realizing that God's opened the door to the Gentiles. You got Barnabas showing up, and he's glad, and he's exhorting them to continue what they're doing. He goes get Saul, brings Saul down here, and I'm telling you, for a year they're sitting here assembling themselves and teaching people, and they're getting called Christians first in Antioch. And we're getting ready to get into some persecution right here in just a minute. Verse 27 says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. They're getting some big wheels, got some evangelists, got some men, you know, that know some things. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, one of the best abilities God looks for is availability.
Yeah,
but he said, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt at Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, this chapter 11 is a good chapter. They're getting organized. They're exhorting one another. They're encouraging one another. They're sending relief to these brethren in Judea. And they sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Chapter 12 starts out persecution. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church One thing about government, they talk about separation of church and government.
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be a great separation.
Yeah, that's right.
Right now, we've got to pray for our government.
Mm-hmm.
I wish our government was not so political. I wish our government was more godly.
Yeah.
More open to God.
Yes,
more open to the Word of God, to the work of God. But I'm telling you, this spirit of Antichrist we've been preaching about, it's showing up in our government. And they're censoring, shutting doors. Last night, Sarah Huckabee spoke after the State of the Union speech, and they censored her on every channel except one. So her speech was not even heard on nothing but one channel.
Yeah.
But Herod the king, and he's in extreme power here, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He's jealous or mad, I don't know which. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants. Hope I'm saying it right. Of soldiers, quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He had 16 soldiers assigned to keep him. And even with Herod the king putting Peter in prison, even with this four quadrants of soldiers, 16 soldiers to keep Peter, God set him free. You'll see here in a minute. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You see, that's one thing about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
right,
but they're mighty through God that are pulling down the strongholds. Peter's in a stronghold. He's in a jail. But the church is praying without ceasing unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, notice the timing of this, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prisoner. I mean, he's got one on each side of him. He's got two at the door. And I don't know where the others are, but there's a total of 16 soldiers in charge of one man. It says verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Reminds me of Acts chapter 16. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off of his hands. You talk about he wasn't Houdini. He just had the help of God. Well, Jesus said he sets captives free. Well, here's a good example of that. He set Peter free. The chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So they're getting ready to leave this prison. I'm going to say God gave a deep sleep upon these soldiers. They ain't got a clue anything's going on. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. You know, I've been to stores that the doors open up automatically.
Yeah.
But buddy, this is 42 years after the death of Jesus, and these doors open up. So I mean, we're kind of behind the times. These are automatic doors with the Lord on hand right here. But the doors open to them of his own accord. They didn't have to open them. They opened up for them. They went out. Now verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, You know, he's sitting there thinking, I don't understand this, but I'm glad to be out of prison. Yeah. But when he was coming to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You know, the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Here's a good example of that. God was for Peter, even though Herod had him locked up, even though the Jews wanted him slaughtered, wanted him killed, God brought him out. Verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, that's
hook me to Wi-Fi,
whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You know, sometimes you can pray. I've been praying earnestly for little Maverick, looking at his parents, looking at the doctors by way of the pictures they posted, and understanding how helpless they are. But we've been praying for little Maverick that God would do a miracle, allow this little boy to live, that he might be a great testimony of the mercy and grace of God, that he might be a great man of God, do mighty works of God. But here Peter is, and Peter's trying to consider everything that's happened to him, and they're inside and they're still praying. And verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood for the gate. Now, they got a prayer meeting going on in there. Mm-hmm. Peter's at the gate, and Peter's knocking at the door of the gate, and this damsel, probably a young girl named Rhoda, she recognizes Peter's voice, but she opens not the gate. You know, sometimes you do the most unthinkable things, like, why didn't I open the gate? But she didn't. She left it and run for gladness and told that Peter's outside standing for the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. They called her crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it's his angel. They got a lot of faith in their prayer. They're saying, Peter's dead, it's his ghost. And here she is, the bearer of good news. Here they are praying for Peter. Peter's there at the door of the gate, and she's trying to convince him that he's outside. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Mm-hmm. Now, they've been praying for Peter. They receive a word from Rhoda that he's outside. They don't believe it. They said it's his angel. They just don't believe it. But she never let up. She constantly affirming that it was even so. Peter continues knocking, and finally somebody opens the door, and when they saw him, they couldn't believe what they saw. Verse 17, but he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace. I guess they's yakking. I don't know. But he said, y'all hold on here a minute. Then he told them, he declared unto them how that the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. I guess he's trying to find somewhere where they believe that he's free. I don't know. But he departed, went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. They're looking for Peter. His empty chains, his clothes, and him, they're gone. And they're looking about like our government trying to find some way to blame this on somebody so they won't be guilty of being asleep while all this happened. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea unto Caesarea and there abode. These keepers, they couldn't help it. This was bigger than Herod.
Yeah.
This was bigger than them.
That's right.
Jesus came to Peter and set him free. And Herod, he ain't happy. Verse 20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. You got a lot of this going on today.
Yeah.
These United Nations, you know, trying to figure out a way to take a nation that's poverty stricken and reap the benefits of a nation blessed of God like America. You know, as much as America's been through, God has still blessed it. It's still running over. I'm talking about land of milk and honey. And even though they've attacked it, even though they've robbed it, even though they've lied, it still continues this day. They just don't know how to handle it.
That's right.
Well, here are this country here come, and they're wanting peace because their country is nourished by the king's country. And this is the last of old Herod here. And upon a set day, Herod, now he's just full of pomp right here, full of pride. Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. I say this tonight to every politician and every speaker, don't get too big for your britches.
Mm-hmm.
Herod got too big for his britches
right here.
He intruded into matters that he should have left alone. But he gave this oration, this speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." Verse 23, "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." I read about this ordeal in a book Josephus wrote. He wasn't a Christian, he was a historian. And he wrote in great detail about this event right here. And it's kind of gory, so I won't elaborate on it. But Herod, he didn't die just right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
He died an agonizing, terrible death. And he wasn't happy. He took out a lot of wrath on people, his servants, his family and stuff. But these worms, they eat him up. And because he gave his speech and didn't give God the glory. Verse 24 says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now there'll be more mention about this young boy, but right now he's with good company. He's with Barnabas and Saul. In verse 1 of chapter 13, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and a Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" And they got a call upon them. And the Bible says, "Make your call and election sure." And this is about as sure as it gets right here.
Yeah, that's right.
They were called to do a work. Verse 3, "When they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Caesarea, and from thence they sailed into Cyprus. When they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God." That's what we're supposed to do, preach the word of God.
That's right.
"In the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." John's waiting on Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas. He's kind of like a help to them. He's their minister. He gets whatever they need. Verse 6, "And when they had gone through the Isle Patmos, They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now you've got two men here that are truly called of God, and you've got a man here that's a false prophet, a sorcerer, named Bar-Jesus. This ain't going to go over too good right here.
No.
Verse 8, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, talking about Bar-Jesus, withstood them. You know, like I said, light and darkness, they don't mix too good.
No.
And you got Barnabas and Saul here, and they're called of God, doing the work of God, and then you got this false prophet, and he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now that deputy has called for Barnabas and Saul, and he's desired to hear the word of God, right there in verse 7. Verse 9, Saul's had it up to here with Bar-Jesus, with Elymas. Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Buddy, he's in trouble. Saul's not looking away.
Uh-oh.
Saul's not backing down. He set his eyes on him, verse 10, and said, O fool of all... Oh, let me read this right. And said, O fool of all sublimity and all mischief, thou child of the devil. They just had some kind of Oscar thing. They had a guy dressed up like the devil, women in cages and everything else.
Yeah.
Just kind of showed you the sad state of this country, because that's what they're promoting now. Got Satanists, a church of Satan, built an abortion clinic down in Mexico so they can continue their ritualistic sacrifice of babies. I'm just telling you, buddy, Paul here, he ain't got time for this false prophet named Bar-Jesus, Elymas, and he calls him and he says, O fool of all sublimity and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. I'm telling you, this boy bit off more than he could chew. He withstood Saul, and Saul stood his ground. And when the deputy saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem. That's a red flag right there. John was ministering to them. But this episode here with this false prophet, with Saul standing his ground, I'm going to say that probably rocked the boat of this young man. And he went back to Jerusalem. Now, this is going to cause some problems here shortly, and Paul and Barnabas are going to separate over it. But just remember this, God's still using them, amen.
That's right.
But when they were departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. In other words, they said, y'all got anything you want to say? Then Paul stood up, beckoned with his hand, and said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. They turned it over to Paul. It didn't take him long.
No.
Verse 17, Paul says, The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. In about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years unto Samuel the prophet. Now, Saul's a very learned man. It ain't like he's struggling to say this. And afterwards they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God's always looked for a man that he could use. Sadly, there's not very many that God could use. Most of them are too busy. Most of them are so full of themselves and no room for God to be able to be used by them or to be able to use them. But here David is, a young boy, and God has saw in David a man that he could use. He said he's a man after mine own heart which shall fulfill all my will. Be good if we had a bunch of men like that today. Paul went on to say, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now they don't like this, but they need this. Of this man's seed hath God raised, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John at first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him, though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, thank God for him, all that believe, I'm one of them,
amen,
are justified from all things for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. A lot of people, that's a stumbling block. Man always wants to do something. And man couldn't do nothing, so God done it all. It's a take it or leave it.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you, you don't have nothing to offer God but disappointment
That's
and
it.
Failure.
That's it.
And we're justified from all things through the finished work of Christ. He goes on to say, verse 40, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now this is good news, except for the Jews. I mean, they've got the Gentiles' attention. Their hearts been opened. They've received every bit of these truths that's been told them. But these Jews, verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking of them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. Boy, it sounds good, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
But when the Jews saw the multitudes, here comes jealousy, they were filled with envy, another word for jealousy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. You know what? God's not no respecter of persons, but these Jews thought they were better than these Gentiles. And when these Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women. Boy, here you come, trouble. And the chief men of the city, and raised up prosecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Ghost. We're going to stop right there. That's the end of chapter 13. You know, there's a lot of that stuff goes on today.
Yes, Lord.
I've done heard it like this right here. Some people, their match only strikes on their box. They're just not open to truth. They're just not willing to hear anything except what they think is truth or what they think is right. You know, I'll give a man a benefit of the doubt. I may not agree with him, but I'll listen to him.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you something. I've got right here the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God made sure I could have one. I've got one. And I'm going to search it daily to see whether those things are so or not. No matter what, I'm going with the Word of God.
Right.
And if you got any sense about you at all, you'll go with the Word of God too. All right. Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight.
Yes,
Lord, it was even better than I thought it would be. Thank you for all the things you brought to our mind and to our attention in Jesus' name. Amen.
I got to take this box home with me.
See what the deal is?
Oh, I know what.